Welcome to Lack Live Radio on the La Crosse Radio Network. This is Marissa and Jimmy from InLacrosseWeTrust.com coming back at you with more Lax Talk every week. The podcast has become a weekly thing. What do you know? We've stuck with it, and it's going pretty good. This was a good week in radio, too, overall. We had the Continental Indoor Lacrosse League Championship game. Congratulations to the Chicago Outlaws on defeating the Grand Rapids Dragonfish with another good season of CILL Lacrosse on the Lacrosse Radio Network and also the Arena Sports Network. Thank you to Brian Snow for broadcasting all season and also hosting the CILL weekly program. That was really good. And also thank you to Rocco Granato, who writes for InLacrosseWeTrust.com, and Tom Wilms for broadcasting the Baltimore Indoor Lacrosse League games on Tuesday. Those games went really well. The first game where Rebel defeated Parrot 8-7. Great game. Great broadcast. I really hope we can get the archive content of that up at some point. We're waiting to hear from some of the production team on that, of getting that up. It was aired live, and I hope it was recorded. I think it was. So we'll get it up as soon as possible, and hopefully we have more games in the future. This show is going to be mostly interviews, just because that's how it's set up this week. We really want to have coverage of the Baltimore Indoor Lacrosse League. Really excited to be covering them, and Larry Fila, who does a great job over there with that league. We've talked about it before. I'm sure you've read about it on the site, if you read the site, which is why you'd be listening to this. There's some high-quality players there, and we're lucky to have three of them on the show tonight. We'll have later on, we have three goaltenders on the show just because we're cool like that. We'll have Patrick Crosby from Insure Productivity, Jack Runkle, former Loyola goalie and also on First Mariner, and also Adam Miller, who played for the Baltimore Bombers in the North American Lacrosse League, and he is a member of Parrot. So we'll have those three guys on to talk about the league and their teams, so that will be pretty cool. We also have on Blaine Harrison, the head coach of the New England Black Wolves, the newest NLL team. We've talked about them a lot. We'll continue to do so. Interesting stuff. We'll have some news from that interview coming out afterwards as well. And we'll have some analysis. It's going to be mostly interviews. The show might be longer than usual because I do want to get into some analysis. The United States team in U.S. lacrosse was kind of the big story this week, and I wrote about it a lot. There's been a lot of stories everywhere. Inside Lacrosse, Lax All-Stars, Ryan Zenner, all have done terrific coverage of the whole situation, and I hope we have too, because it's kind of important stuff for people out there to know about if you follow the United States Lacrosse team. The Bowhunter Cup was canceled, which is unfortunate. Not really fun for us either, because we had three really good writers, Dan Patterson, Pat Greger, and Chris Vail, going to that, and now they can't, so hopefully we find some NCAA fall ball for them to do this weekend, because I know they were looking forward to that. But the event was canceled. It will be back next year, they said in a press release. It's kind of hard to say why it got canceled, because there are mixed messages. U.S. Lacrosse is saying that they never were going to be in it, but then some people are saying they can't be in it because they couldn't get the uniforms in time from Nike. And then if they weren't going to be in it, it doesn't make much sense why the Rochester Nighthawks and all these other organizations were promoting them to be in it, and why the Iroquois website announced there'd be two Iroquois teams yesterday after the U.S. team, well, I don't want to say backed out because apparently they didn't, but after it was known they weren't going to be in it. So it's just kind of weird. U.S. lacrosse claims they weren't ever involved in Bowhunter, and they never claimed to be, and they never wanted to be. It was always an outside source. And that's true, it always was. But U.S. lacrosse had never run the indoor team before. It was USIL. And as far as I know, as far as everyone else knows, USIL isn't involved anymore. So who was supposed to be running that team, and what happened? Hopefully we have more about that soon. But we're going to head to a quick commercial break. We'll be back with Blaine Harrison. And after that, it's rapid fire. I'm telling you, we have interviews the rest of the night, and then we'll wrap it up with analysis of all of them.
This is Nick Rose of the Toronto Rock, and you're listening to the Lacrosse Radio Network.
Black Wolves head coach Blaine Harrison. Blaine, first thing I want to ask you about is the team now playing at Mohegan Sun in Connecticut, the team name of New England moving from Philadelphia. What are your overall thoughts on this?
Well, thanks for having me on the program, first and foremost, Marissa. I think it's very exciting. me. I know that view is not shared by a lot of folks, particularly in Philadelphia, but from my own personal experience, sometimes it changes through the direct. And certainly the Mohegan Sun folks and tribal council have welcomed this with open arms. It's a, you know, just from a facility standpoint, it's a, you know, world-class resort. It's a spectacular place to go and visit and spend time there, you know, just as a place to go. But you look at the intimacy of the arena, you look at some of the things they've done with the professional women's team, you know, they're a legitimate organization that knows how to, you know, put together entertainment. So we're all pretty excited by the opportunity.
It's the first time New England will have an NLL team back since the Boston Blazers ceased operations back in 2011. So New England fans are certainly happy. Like you mentioned, Philadelphia fans are not. But I want to ask you about Tracy Kolisky was just named a coach with the team. What's that transition going to be like from him joining you on the bench from when he was a player last season?
Yeah, I mean, that's always a challenge. Tracy and I have talked about it. You know, whenever you make the jump from player to coach, you know, you really have to very quickly divest yourself of, you know, sort of the player mentality and going out with the boys and being one of them and all that kind of stuff. There's certainly, you know, we like to consider ourselves player coaches and accessible to the guys, but at some point you have to draw a line and, you know, you're the coach, you're the player, and you have to have that relationship. And some guys can do it, some guys don't. TK and I have talked about it at length. And he understands that, and I think he's preparing himself for that. I think the fact that he was relatively new to our team last year provides him a little bit more of the ability to make that leap. You know, he has a wealth of knowledge. He's got a tremendous lacrosse resume. He's been, you know, a winner at every level he's played at. And he coaches in a, you know, a very strong junior league in Canada, and he's a defensive coach of the Peterborough team. So, you know, it made a lot of sense. He is, I think his wife's family is from the Connecticut area, and so it makes a lot of sense for us as an organization to have, you know, TK to be part of it, and we're kind of glad that he's taking this on in his next chapter of his lacrosse life, I guess.
Something kind of current has happened the last couple days. New England signed Stephen Keough to a restricted free agent offer sheet. He just signed with Rochester for 4 years today. What was that process, and can you just explain what was going on with that?
Yeah, I mean, it started before the draft. And before, you know, we went into the draft, we really didn't have many assets. You know, we had a 15th and a 17th pick overall. We were hoping to get lucky with a couple of guys that turned out to go early anyway. So, you know, when we looked and we scoured through our needs, you know, we looked at, okay, if we're not going to be able to build this through a draft, we're going to have to build it through free agency and a free agent camp as well as, you know, a free agent spare currently on teams. And, you know, really wasn't a whole lot of unrestricted free agents that we saw that we felt would fit our needs. But, you know, Stephen Keough is a guy that, you know, obviously he's a good player. He's got, you know, he's proven winner in this league. He's a restricted free agent. So we thought we'd take a chance, right? I mean, restricted free agency is kind of a fool barren in many ways because, you know, you can put an offer up there and the home team, host team can match and then, you know, all bets are off. So we thought we'd take a bit of a, you know, roll the dice a little bit to see if we could get him, but we really didn't think, we thought he's the kind of a player that Rochester would have met, but, you know, no Giddy, no Gotti, I guess. So we tried for it and it didn't work out, but in hindsight, things happened at the draft that worked out for us and we were able to build some nice youth depth through that process.
I'm going to get to the draft in a couple minutes, but I want to ask about another restricted free agent. You did acquire Mike McNamara from Colorado. What is the situation with him? Is he? Do you expect to sign him to an offer sheet?
Well, I mean, he's ours right now. So, I mean, we traded for him. At the end of the day, we traded for him. We had started that process, and during the draft, we traded, you know, him for our 17th, I guess. You know, he signed. You know, he's in our property, and we're looking forward to his leadership and his defensive acumen this year.
And back to the draft now, because just following that draft, New England had so many picks, and it just felt like there were so many trades happening. It was a crazy draft to follow, just with all the trades happening from all the teams. but New England seemed especially active. From your perspective, what was the goal of the draft, and do you think you accomplished what you were trying to do?
I asked a little deeper question because, it's going into the draft, as I said a few minutes ago, we weren't really expecting a whole lot. We had a couple of picks. 15 was our first pick, and like I said, we were hoping to get a couple of pieces of place that, in hindsight, wouldn't have worked for us if we hadn't made any moves. But stepping back, coming out of last year, myself, Jim Milligan, Rich Lisk, kind of did an evaluation of how the season ended up. We were 6-12, not happy with that record. Put a little bit of Pollyanna to it. We lost 5 or so games by a goal. We thought we were competitive in more games than not. We just didn't have a couple of pieces that fell into place that got us over the hump. So we looked at, where we thought our needs were, and then you look at, Garrett Bowe leaving. Big blow to us, but not unexpected. He's got a bigger team to play for now. So we thought that lefty O was going to be a key need for us. And then from there, righty O, we felt that we had some opportunities on the right side. And then you get into some defensive ideas. So that was kind of the thought process going in. But with not having too many draft picks on the front end, we really didn't think we were going to plug too many holes with the draft. Now, a couple of things fall into place. All of a sudden, Rochester trades Johnny Ballas. All of a sudden, Jordan Hall comes and says, look, I got a problem with the schedule. I may not be able to play this year. And all of a sudden, you have a deal for Jordan. Jordan fills a hole that Rochester has. We get some assets that we can leverage with Calgary. Next thing you know, we've got 2 first-round picks in a couple of seconds and a couple of thirds, and our whole mentality changed. And that all kind of went down 15 minutes before we hit the table off on Monday night. So all of a sudden, you quickly go into, I wouldn't say plan B, because the plan was the plan. Now we just have more opportunity to implement that which we wanted to do. So all of a sudden, the guys that we had on our prospect chart, are now, coming to play. Mark Cochran, that fills our immediate need on left PO. Quinn Powell immediately fills our need on radio. So then you just start going down the list. Mike McNamara is a trade, during at the table that provides us a nice stay-at-home lefty D guy with a little bit of experience for our young guys. So it was kind of one of those things where, opportunity and preparation kind of meet and to create your own one kind of thing.
Were you surprised that Ty Thompson and Sheldon Burns were available so late in the draft?
Yes and no. I think you look at the guys that kind of jumped into the draft at the last minute, they're all pretty legitimate players, and I think that did a couple things. I think it blew off the conventional wisdom a little bit, and then all of a sudden you get New England involved with maybe some different needs that the conventional wisdom wasn't picking up on earlier on in the prognostication. So I don't think so. I think I'm happy to hear, don't get me wrong, because, it was something that we couldn't believe, to be honest with you, that we were able to get a couple of players that people all conventionally think are going to be able to play in this league. So for that, we're very appreciative of it.
What the stuff, because they finished the season on the physically unable to perform list, what's the status right now of Max Seabold and Brendan Mundorf?
Well, I can't speak for Max. Max, he has decided not to continue with indoors, so I'm not really sure what he's going to do, and I really haven't had a chance to talk to him. We talked briefly at the beginning of the year to see what his intentions were. I wish him the best of luck. He's a great kid. But good for him. Brendan Mundorf, I don't know if I'm at liberty to say too much about Brendan. We had a couple of conversations. I know he still has to get a couple of things cleaned up with his knee. So, I think he's going to take that one step at a time, get the knee taken care of, and reevaluate, if his body can handle the rigors of kind of 2 weeks kind of thing. So, that's really all I can say at this point.
And two more players I just want to ask the status of. Is Tucker Durkin expected to play this year? He was on the draft list last season. And is Kyle Sweeney coming back?
So no, Tucker Durkin, you know, we talked to him. You know, he wanted to play. Looks like that, you know, he's got a new job that's going to be make it very, very difficult to commit to a full season given some of our Friday commitments from a scheduling perspective. So, you know, we'll just kind of, you know, put him in the whatever the holdout list or park him over off to the side until such a time that, his real job schedule can be, can free up more with what we have going on. And then, I'm sorry, you said who?
Kyle Sweeney.
Kyle Sweeney has decided to retire.
Okay. Last question here now. I want to ask about the acquisition of Jamie Lincoln to the left side forward. You mentioned earlier Garrett Zuhl is not going to be there this season. You did draft a couple of lefty forwards. You brought Lincoln. Do you expect any more moves made in the offseason before training camp to bring in any more help on the left side, or is Lincoln that move?
It's hard to say. I guess you never say never, but, you know, we've got Kevin Buchanan back. We've got Pat Saunders, Mark Cochran, and Jamie Lincoln, as you said, Josh Johnson, Ty Thompson. You know, Gareth Bull, you know, says no, but you know, he can weekends off, maybe, kind of thing. So, that's seven lefties. You know, we think they're pretty good lefties. I mean, you start looking at seven lefties and seven righties of the kind of quality that we have. Maybe not NLL season quality, but certainly guys who know how to put the ball in the net. You know, there's going to be some tough decisions in camp. I hope these guys can see sort of the depth chart that I'm looking at and say, you know, I better come to camp and really, you know, be hungry for a spot, because like every other team in the league right now, you're looking at, you know, four of those seven guys are going to probably be in the roster and three won't. So, but what do you do with those three? That's sort of going to be the fun challenge the coaches have. But like right now, we don't have anything on our radar that would be a lefty or righty O coming in. But again, I never say never.
This is Curtis Knight of the Edmonton Rush, and you are listening to the Lacrosse Radio Network.
Back here on LAC Live Radio on the. Lacrosse Radio Network, talking about the Baltimore Indoor Lacrosse League. Here is Patrick Crosby from Insure Productivity. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
So tell me a little bit about the Baltimore Indoor Lacrosse League and what kind of lacrosse it is.
In my opinion, it's probably the most competitive, you know, amateur league that we have out here, you know, in the Mid-Atlantic, without going to Canada. So if that gives anything, you know, speak to the level of play of the league. I saw the article on your site and a few others. Obviously, they mentioned there's a lot of professional players in the league, I guess. You know, most notably like Jordan Hall, Sean Nadling. In the past, Eric Miller's been in the league. So over the years, it's pretty much been a place where guys who are looking to go to an NLL training camp or looking to get to the next level kind of get their skills and chops up to the, you know, fall and into the winter.
And this past summer, you played in the Philadelphia Box Lacrosse Association. What are the differences between the two leagues? Do you find them similar?
Not really. To be honest with you, the league here in Philly, where I live, it's a pretty fun league. It's a good league. You know, to kind of get your feet wet if you're sort of new to the game. A lot of young college guys play in that league. So it's just something local for me to, you know, kind of stay in shape and, you know, stay motivated, you know, towards the fall year. And again, you know, just basically to compare the two, again, the Baltimore League, like I said, just predominantly guys who played, you know, at the D1 level, who were, you know, in some sort of form of professional, you know, box lacrosse setting, or, you know, maybe even senior B, something along those lines. So there's a pretty big skill gap, I would say, between the two leagues, just from my opinion.
And the team you're on this season is Insure Productivity, who is a newer team in the league, a few new players on the team who are new to the league, and some players who are new to box lacrosse altogether. Can you talk about the team for a little while?
Yeah, like you said, it's a new team. I guess, essentially, Team Toyota that was in the league previously, I guess they couldn't get it together for this coming season. So, Sherpa Arcadi stepped up, and, you know, I'm just excited to have the opportunity to play with the guys. They're a little bit more novice in the game in terms of, you know, box lacrosse pedigree, but we got a bunch of guys who, you know, played at a pretty high level of field lacrosse. Several guys who played Division One, some guys from Maryland, Loyola, Towson. So the team is definitely young, skilled, fast, and you know, every week's a pretty cool learning experience. And I guess just from my perspective, you know, I'm obviously coming from Philly, coming for a 2-hour ride after work, and I guess it just makes, you know, makes it a little more fun for me, just because I know I'm going to see a lot of shots, I know I'm going to get my money's worth each week, and that's just helping me, you know, prepare for you know, different tryouts and things that I hope to do this fall and winter.
This is the 29th season of the Baltimore Indoor Lacrosse League. What do you think has allowed the league to be successful for this long?
I'd say foremost, you know, a lot of the guys who've been involved with the league have been involved, you know, from day one. Guys like Larry Fila, Hunter Francis, you know, and even people like Ginny have been around the league for at least, you know, 10, 15 years. You know, it's just like a lot of dedicated people who care deeply about the game of indoor lacrosse, and, you know, they want a competitive league, and obviously Baltimore is a hotbed for field lacrosse, and, you know, there's a lot of guys in the area who, you know, have received the hell of opportunities, you know, over the span of the last 29 years, like you mentioned. So I just think, you know, the real reason it's there is that, you know, I guess through a testament to its length of time, I guess, would be, you know, just a dedication to the people who, you know, are involved in the league, and, you know, they wanted to grow, and, I mean, obviously, we recently, I guess, there was the radio network there on the test Tuesday night, and that's just an example, you know, the league always trying to get to the next level, I guess.
And now, lastly, this week you're facing Rebel, who's 3-0 after winning this week, and it's a rematch from the first game of the season between both teams. What are you looking forward to in this game?
Well, last time we played them, it was my first game, you know, the season, in sure productivity. So, as I mentioned before, a lot of guys, this is the first time I was playing box lacrosse. It was a pretty interesting game, pretty even first period, but things got a little out of hand for us on my side in the second, and Rebel got up big on us, and we were able to hold them to only 2 or 3 in the second half, which I thought was pretty good. The guys hung in there, showed a lot of resolve, didn't give up, and, you know, just looking for another chance at it. Last time, they had Jordan Hall and another guy named Nick Inch, I believe his last name is. I know he played in Virginia. He's an excellent player. He gave me a lot personally. Had a couple goals.
Back here on Lax Live Radio on the Lacrosse Radio Network, here with Jack Runkle from Baltimore Indoor Lacrosse.
This is Kyle Sorensen, the Washington Stealth, and you're listening to the Lacrosse Radio Network.
Jack, welcome to the show, and just can you explain to us about the Baltimore Indoor Lacrosse League and what the experience is like for you?
Thanks for having me. So far for me, I mean, I'm kind of a rookie, I guess. This is my third game I've played so far, so I'm having a blast doing it, though. It's my first time really playing organized indoor lacrosse league, especially box. So, yeah, I'm having a blast and learning a lot from some of the older guys and kind of getting better at it as I go.
And as someone new to the box game, especially as a goalie, that's a tough position to transition to. What do you find the biggest challenges of transitioning from a field player to playing box lacrosse?
I think just being a goalie, it's really kind of about the angles. The nets are a lot smaller, so you don't have to overcompensate like you do in the field game so much. You really can kind of rely on your size. That was one thing I kind of realized in the first couple of games. I was overstepping or over kind of committing to an angle, and people were kind of bringing the ball back to the near side and scoring on me a whole lot. So I kind of adjusted that going into my second game, my third game, starting to play better, becoming more satisfied playing.
And your team is First Mariner, and you have a lot of guys on the team who are experienced in the box game. You have a guy like Sean Adelin playing in front of you on defense. What's it like playing with some of these guys, and have they helped you with your transition?
Yeah, I mean, Coach Nat and guys like James Small and all those guys are actually have been a lot of help. I mean, it's a lot of fun playing with people, especially about strategies. It's kind of allowed me to grow my understanding of the game.
Yeah, you guys won last week. What was that win like, and what kind of experience is it for you every single game as you're, like you said, you are a new player and you are adjusting to the game. Do you feel like every time you go out there, you're learning more about the sport?
Oh, absolutely. Last week, this past Tuesday, I actually didn't even play goalie. I played out in the field, I played defense with Coach Nats and Fletch. So those guys, it was actually a good experience to get out there and kind of see it from a different angle. You do kind of realize how little space there is really in the box game. It's really kind of letting the game come to you and just being physical when you have the opportunity to step into somebody. So that was the kind of the big learning experience for me. I'm not someone who typically plays out of the net, but we've had a tough time finding guys to kind of support the bench. We really ran 11 or 12 guys in the last couple of games, so we need the legs. I stepped up and played some defense, but it was a good experience. I had a lot of fun, and luckily we came out there with the win.
Do you expect to keep playing defense this year, or move back to the net, or just do whatever they tell you to do?
I'll definitely stay in the goals because goalie is really where I want to kind of progress my skills and that sort of thing. I've dabbled in the short stick kind of game in my earlier career, but just kind of moving forward, I'd like to just kind of stay in the cage. It's nice when your fellow goalies allow you to play an entire game, like our game against Team Rebel. I was allowed to stay in the nets because I was playing well. So we switched off here, and it made it easy for me to just kind of say I'm going to play out in the field. But yeah, going forward, I definitely look to stay in the net here as much as I can, just because that's where I really want to start improving my skills.
Do you see yourself playing box lacrosse goalie outside of this league at some point as well, or expanding on this career at all?
I would love to. I mean, I kind of am in the feeling. I kind of have the feeling where I wish I lived in Canada a little bit, where I could have played box lacrosse at a younger age, because it's so much fun learning a new variation of the game. One thing that I wish we had in Connecticut when I was growing up is another opportunity to play actual box lacrosse. So yeah, I definitely look to continue to play as much as I possibly can. I entered my name into the NLL draft, but unfortunately I wasn't drafted, rightfully so. I don't have a ton of experience, but maybe in the future I'll be lucky enough to get a tryout with the team here and see if I can take some steps to a higher level.
And now lastly, this week you're playing Parrot. You played them in the first week of the season. What are you expecting coming up?
Expecting a lot of veteran play from Parrot. They have a lot of guys who understand the game and who have played the game a whole lot. So in our first game when we played them, we didn't have a lot of guys. We had a lot of people who had never played box lacrosse before. I mean, Justin Moore and Joe Fletcher and those guys. That was their first box lacrosse game as well. And I don't think anyone was really expecting how tiring and how kind of up and down the game was just from our transition from the field game into the box game. So I think we're going to be a little bit more prepared this time and ready to step out there and give it a better effort. Hopefully my teammates feel the same way.
Well, Jack, thank you so much for being on the show here, and best of luck this week.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, last interview here on Lax Live Radio this evening. We have Adam Miller from Baltimore Indoor Lacrosse League with the Parrot team. Adam, thank you for joining the show, and can you tell us a little bit about the Baltimore Indoor Lacrosse League and what it is?
Thanks for having me. have me. Yeah, the Baltimore Indoor Lacrosse League is, I believe, in its like 29th year. It's an amateur indoor league. In the past, we've had a bunch of pros come through. But right now, it's had different variations. Right now, it's four teams. It's pretty highly competitive amongst those four teams. And from what I understand, I mean, I have my own opinions on it, but from what I understand, it's one of the top amateur leagues in the country.
And what players stand out to you in this league? There are players like Jordan Hall and Will Harrington who play in the NLL or in Major League Lacrosse. Which players stand out to you as elite-level players in this kind of league?
Absolutely. You have players like Jordan Hall and Sean Madlin. Will Harrington on our team and Matt Hickman and Will have been teaming up on the left side of our offense really well. We've got some guys like Dave Short and Colton Vosberg who are on the Baltimore Bombers with me. Some standout guys. And then there's a couple new guys from young guy from Canada, and I'm totally blanking on his name right now, but he's heading up the Insure team, and he's a good player as well.
Parrot had a very good season, or Pickled Parrot. I always just write Parrot, but you've had a good season so far. What do you think really worked with the chemistry of this team?
It's a good combination of new blood and some KG veterans, and I think we're going to get better as the season goes on, and because new guys are going to learn from the old guys. The old guys definitely want to teach what they know to the younger guys coming in. And a lot of us, the older guys, we've been playing together for quite a few years now. So there's a natural chemistry there.
You guys started off 2-0. You were tied for first place with Rebel. You both of your teams played last week. You lost to Rebel. Tough loss with 8-7, I believe. How do you guys rebound going into this week?
Well, we were missing a couple key guys on defense, Josh Rockman and Dave Short, and I think that would cut down their chances. I haven't seen the official stat yet, but as I was leaving, Larry Sheila told me I had somewhere around 30 or more goal saves, and that's a lot of opportunities for them. So I think having some of our key guys there would stop that for sure.
And lastly, now what should we be watching this next coming week in the Baltimore Indoor Lacrosse League? It's the rematch of the first week. You're playing First Mariner, same team played in the first week. They're coming off of a win against Insure Productivity. What should we be watching for in this upcoming week?
I think that's going to be the best game of the week, us versus First Mariner. They brought on a couple of their vets, like Bugs Combs had a good game last week. I think that's going to be the game to watch for sure. It's going to be a bit of a slugfest. We're getting better, and so are they. They were a little light on numbers the first week, so I think that's going to be a good tilt this week.
Well, Adam, thank you so much for joining us here on the show, and best of luck this week.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Wrapping things up here on Lax Live Radio. Thank you to everyone who's on the show. This is obviously a very packed show. Hopefully we can live up to the same kind of quality show next week. I don't know who's going to be on next week, but it'll be good, I'm sure. So Baltimore Indoor Lacrosse League, if you didn't catch it, two games coming up, Rebel against Insure Productivity and First Mariner against Parrot. There's no Bow Hunter this week, so there's really not many games. There's some fall ball going on. In Lax, we'll have Glenn Carey at the event at Navy, but that's appearing like that's what we'll have this week. There are plenty of other cool events. I believe Ohio State, North Carolina. None of these are really televised or like broadcasted or anything, but so it's cool to just kind of look at the results of that, I guess. But or you can head out to those games if you want to get your lacrosse fixed that bad. But nothing else much going on. CILL season is over. It's going to be kind of that period of waiting until training camp starts in a little bit. Over a month and a half or so, I guess, but we're keeping news. We're like just keeping updated on it. Go to inlacrossewetrust.com. We have plenty of news updates coming basically every hour for most of the first half of every day and more stuff as it comes out. There is the Canadian University Field Lacrosse Association where Pat Gregor is just like killing it with the coverage of that, so you're going to want to check that out. We're still covering the draft even though it's been over for almost 2 weeks now because it's that exciting. Dan Patterson had a story come out today about all the lefties on Buffalo, or I guess came out yesterday if this is being posted Friday. So that came out yesterday, so check everything out there. More USA news as it comes. We're going to be following that story pretty intensely. Now that the Bow Hunter's canceled, I don't know how much of a story it is, but we'll be following it. So all your lacrosse news, yeah, check that out. Couple updates I want to talk about with Blaine Harrison before the show gets... It's a little long already, but interesting notes about how Max Seabold is not going to be playing indoor lacrosse anymore. That should be noted. Kyle Sweeney retiring. I'd heard that a while ago, but I heard that about Brody Merrill, too, and he's in Toronto now. So wanted to confirm that. Interesting, Garrett Sewell might play a couple of games. And Tucker Durkin... not coming back for this year, but maybe in the future. Interesting, because he was a draft pick of that Philadelphia club before they moved to New England. So, just interesting. I'm sure we'll have some writing about that, too. Just because I like that those stories are interesting. But, yeah, check out the website for more lacrosse news. We will have the archived Baltimore Indoor Lacrosse League games from Tuesday up at some point. So, just check all of it out, and thanks again for listening. Best lacrosse fans in the world, listen to this show. So, listen to the show.